Ed.
Dead Ringers.
You're listening to Today with me, Sarah Montague.
And me, Nick Robinson.
With speculation rife in Westminster of a possible leadership challenge to Theresa May, much talk centred on the existence of a stalking horse and why Jacob Rees-Mogg was allowed to ride it into the Commons to work every morning. Daniel Day-Lewis confirmed he was quitting acting by announcing that he was taking a role in Hollyoaks.
Buckingham Palace insists a reporter misquoted Prince Harry, saying no one wants to be king, as it was difficult to hear him over the sound of Prince Charles sobbing in the background.
Hello and welcome to the Antiques Roadshow. Payday loans for posh people. And I believe Justin Croft has someone with him who has an extraordinary document.
So, tell me what this is.
I've got this. This is the 2017 general election Tory manifesto.
How old is this document?
Well, it's been in the family from about May the 18th.
Yes, now, that was an era known to historians as the Theresa May era, a time when a strange, straw-headed woman bestrode the nation as a political colossus. If you look under here, you see it bears the original watermark of Amber Rudd's tears. If you open it up, it contains the return of grammar schools no one wanted, the return of fox hunting no one wanted, and a dementia tax on the elderly. Hardly surprising, then, it's in tatters.
Can you put a price on it? What would you say it would cost?
Well, it would cost a parliamentary majority, the credibility of the Tories on the next election in 6 months' time. Have you brought anything else with you?
Just these 10 DUP MPs.
No!
I'm told they date from the Paleolithic era.
Good evening and welcome to The One Show, the show you watch in the corner of the screen while you scroll down the TV guide looking for something better.
Tonight we're doing a special programme about the heat wave. Is it all just a bit of fun, or have we entered the end times where civilization disintegrates in a fiery ball of climate change?
Yes, and we've got One Show correspondents up and down the country trying to beat the heat. Giles Brandreth, you're in Norfolk.
Yes, Matthew, good evening and felicitations to you and your kin. Yes, I'm here in the village of Clegging Fecherty with some very lively locals. Now, we are in their gorgeous ancient stone circle where they're about to appease the angry sun god by sacrificing local postman Tommy Pearson, good man.
That's right, Giles. I'm always up for doing mad stuff. I done the bath full of baked beans for comic relief too.
Kill him!
What larks?
Well, someone who definitely doesn't need human sacrifice to protect her crops is Gardener's World expert Carol Klein. Carol, where are you?
Hello, Alex. Well, I'm out in this wonderful, exuberant garden, and I'll be showing you how to use an ordinary strimmer to fight your neighbours for precious water supplies. To go back to doing what I usually do, staring ecstatically at flowers like I'm on acid.
Oh, that's lovely stuff, Carol. Now, I believe we've also got Lise Doucette, who's out there on the front line.
Hello, Matt. Well, I'll be doing a special report here in the epicentre of Bognor Regis.
Lise, it must be a change from reporting in war zones.
Yes, Matt, the British at the seaside are a far more haunting prospect. All about me are desperate people saying things like, it really is too hot, we need a storm to break the heat, and the shop's out of Cornettos, so I just got you a strawberry mivy.
Thanks, Lise. Oh, Jeremy Corbyn, hello there.
I'm popping up everywhere since I became the voice of the people when they emphatically voted me as their second choice.
Oh, great stuff.
The only way to solve this problem is to have an open and honest dialogue with the sun. It has more than its fair share of the solar system's heat, and I will be seizing unused clouds and giving them to the needy.
Hello, this is Theresa May. I can't come to the phone right now, as I'm hiding in the airing cupboard from some shouty orange men.
Prime Minister, it's David Davis here, master negotiator. Just back from the opening Brexit talks, we nailed it. Britain won, the EU, about 17 when I lost count. Anyway, I was just in a cab back to the hotel. Driver's one of those European types, you know, foreign, with the hair. Thought I'd test some of my legendary negotiating skills on him. He wanted 30 euros for the trip. And I goes, hey, Britain will pay no more than 2 euros. And I wasn't budging. I said, Senor, I don't care what your meter says. You should have seen his face. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he's driven me out to the middle of nowhere and dumped me in this field and taken my wallet. And if you could send someone to rescue me, maybe the AA or the SAS, that'd be smashing. Brexit Bulldog out.
Hello and welcome to the all-new surreal 10 o'clock news. Listen to that silence. This is the silence which is my gift to you now. Listen. Is that not the silence which screams of existential crisis that forces us to question all that we know? Whoosh. Listen. Ooh. We must ask, why is news? What colour is reality? And Michael Gove, what's that all about? For more on the bleakness of existence and the futility of news night, we now climb on the opening eye of the left-handed giraffe and clip-clop dangle dance down to Laura Koonsberg playing chess with death on a windswept Swedish beach.
We're just specks of light, Hugh, adrift in an echoing universe, teetering on the abyss of thought between the now and the now, and all that is left for us to do is to make sense of the maelstrom.
Which means?
Still no deal as of yet between the Tories and the DUP.
For all the very latest on the weather, over now to the surreal BBC Weather Centre and Thomas Schaffernacker.
Over the next 24 hours, Britain will see time start to eat itself. Just seconds at first, but then gobble, gobble, gobble. There go the minutes and hours. And so the Ouroboros is a complete circle of what used to be real and is now a chaos filled with nothingness. And watch out for that high pollen count, especially in the southeast.
Hello and welcome to This Week. I'm Andrew Neil. You've heard of Lord Buckethead? Well, I'm Baron Spamface. Joining me on the sofa is the inventor of cheese, a man who makes life-sized sculptures of Bryan Adams out of Twiglets. And Diane Abbott!
Andrew, your incredulous inflections do not work on me, for I'm currently ebullient. See before you, majestic, my trophy which I've placed between us.
The most disastrous car crash of a political interview, 2017?
Yes, Andrew, yes. I have finally wrested the crown from Natalie Bennett. It is good to know that when it comes to cringing interviews that make you want to stick your fingers in your ears, we still lead the Tories.
Not so fast, Diane.
Boris Johnson, my deadly rival.
Indeed. I have just destroyed what little credibility I have on PM. With a disastrous display of fumbling, rustling of papers and humming and hawing. Clearly that trophy belongs to me.
You will not take it, Boris. I clearly had no idea about my party's policy on the police.
Well, I had no idea of my party's policy on anything.
I lost a whole decimal point.
Well, I lost my dignity, my marbles and my lunch in the reception area of Broadcasting House.
I brought shame to the door of my leader, Jeremy.
You know the name of your leader. I have no idea who mine is. Is it Dumbledore? I don't know. I'm so clueless.
I will see your and raise you a
I will see your and raise you with a
All right, Boris. I cannot compete with that claptrap. You have vanquished me.
Hurrah! Victory is mine. As is custom, I will place my bottom on the This Week sofa, where I will be asked my sage-like advice by Andrew Neil.
Well, okay. Coming up in the next hour, I'll be joined by a race of cockroaches, all with Michael Gove's face on. The giggling holographic head of Quentin Letts. And Boris Johnson!
In a world filled with violence and despair, there's one group of British superheroes dedicated to upholding all that is good and decent. Sir Ian McKellen.
I am the Wanderer of Middle-earth.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
I am the captain of the Starship Enterprise.
Dame Judi Dench.
I am the head of MI6.
And Sir Alan Bennett.
I'm a Taurus, but I can be quite Gemini when I've had a few.
They are the National Treasures. The National Treasures have been summoned to their secret base deep beneath BAFTA headquarters.
Right, Treacles. Well, we have to do something about Donald Trump. Darlings, he has gone too far. He's going to war with...
China?
Worse, darling. Heavy-handed stage adaptations of Shakespeare.
Not the theatre.
Yes. Trump's supporters have stopped the production of Julius Caesar in New York, where Caesar is a flamboyant blowhard with a red tie. And a wife with a Slovenian accent. It's about as subtle as McKellen in his ITV sitcom.
Careful, Ducky.
This is terrible. Making toe-curlingly heavy-handed adaptations of Shakespeare is what theatre people live for.
Indeed, what about my Richard III at the Old Vic set in Nazi Germany? Heavy-handed, all that was lacking was me breaking into Springtime for Hitler.
Oh, and then there was my acclaimed production of Macbeth with Kenny Branagh, set in a Bristol housing estate in the 1980s, where Macbeth was a slum landlord and Lady Macbeth, his garish wife, feeding 20-pound sirloin steaks to her miniature poodle Spot. Take that, Thatcher. Pow, whack, kapow.
If Trump outlaws heavy-handed allegorical productions of Shakespeare, we'll be forced to... perform their plays as they were intended.
And credit the audience with having enough intelligence to see the parallels to modern-day events for themselves.
What's happening?
Our communication system has been hacked.
But by whom?
By me, you losers. And I gotta say, that is a fact. A Donald fact. A great fact. I'm not letting any Shakespeare productions go ahead until I know what the hell is going on. And as it's Shakespeare, I never will.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am here today alongside Arlene Foster, the leader of the DUP, to make a long-awaited joint announcement.
As you know, our two parties have been in discussions for several days now, and it's become clear that we have much in common. We're cold and judgmental.
Which is why it is truly remarkable that the Conservative Party and the DUP have today still somehow not reached an agreement.
I can't believe we've not done it.
It is amazing, isn't it? We're two parties who are basically the same and want pretty much all the same things, and we still seem to be at loggerheads.
Let me see, Prime Minister. We simply would not be where we are today without your arrogance, weakness and incompetence.
Oh, no. Please, you're the one who deserves the credit.
No.
You are.
Well, let's just agree that we've both been awful. And I'd like to think that the mutual mistrust and contempt will stand us in good stead.
I see this as the beginning of a long and unhealthy partnership.
'88 to '91 FM. It's Radio 2 from the BBC. And look, that was Hey Rock and Roll by none other than Shwaddy Waddy. And what do you know? You're listening to Ed Miliband on the Jeremy Vine Show. I'm talking of rock and roll. You know, as ex-leader of the Labour Party, I should clarify that in my opinion, a rock should never roll. It should be solid, secure, and preferably engraved with six key manifesto points.
Eddie, what in the name of sweet baby Cambrose are you doing?
Oh, hello, Jeremy.
You're sinking my ship, Ed. This is the Jeremy Vine Show. People want their ear holes filled with a sexy slice of excitement and a big dollop of dry cured enthusiasm. Now, intro the next track.
It's Walking on Sunshine.
No. Do it like this, Ed. Coming up, we have Walking on Sunshine by Katrina Underwood. Now, you try.
This is Walking on Sunshine.
Okay.
Which, at the current rate of global warming, is only too likely.
No!
Sorry.
Ed, I'm going to tell you a secret. The trick to being multi-award-winning broadcaster Jeremy White is simply getting really excited at the end of every single sentence until you feel like your head might explode! And then you go very, very quiet. Try it yourself.
Okay.
Go on.
Here's Simple Minds. And don't you forget about me.
Oh, that's so good, Ed. You're going to be fantastic.
You see, I'm more than just an internet meme.
This is Theresa May. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hello, it's David Davis again. Now, remember I was in the middle of nowhere? Well, I only saw a shack in the distance and walked towards it. Old farmer bloke answered the door, real peasant. No match for your Brexit bulldog, the master negotiator. Offered him €20 for his rusty old car. Britain wouldn't pay a penny more, I said. He scoffed, but I held my ground. This is the British you're dealing with here, Pedro. The land of Churchill, Shakespeare, Belinda Messenger and Noel Edmonds. Laugh in his face, I did, because I'm British. Oh, yes, British. Anyway, long story short, I'm currently naked and tied to a chair in his basement. With a rather large pig. He wants a ransom from the British government for my release of €50,000, but this master negotiator won't pay more than €5, tops. Yes, now, down, nice piggy. Down, piggy. No, that isn't your supper. That's a British sausage. Get out. Get out. Brexit bulldog, out.
You're watching Fox News, Rupert Murdoch's demented cheese dream. Now, it's time for another one of those very shouty news shows.
I'm Janine Pirro, a rejected mafia wife from The Sopranos, and you're watching Justice with Janine Pirro. This week, those plucky Englanders have opened Brexit talks with the EU, but that was almost starting to sound like actual information, so I'll pass to our mad-as-hell correspondent to explain it in much more reactionary terms.
The goddamn EU is trying to turn the Queen into a bratwurst!
Thank you, Larry! Now I'm hearing that Buckingham Palace has been turned into a shisha bar and William and Kate have been forced to sell their baby for €6 on a straight banana. My first guest is President of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker. Hey, if you're a president, how come you don't tweet every single thing you ever think?
Well, Janine, may I first say that some of our details are incorrect. The Queen has not...
Shut your mouth, you commie snowflake!
All I was trying to say was that there will...
Get off my show! Cut him off!
There we have it. The liberal agenda, clear for all to see. I don't know how the Muslims fit into all this, but I'm pretty damn sure they do somehow. My final guest is President of the English Senate, Lord Nigel Farage.
No. Let me speak.
No, shut up. Let me speak.
No, you let me speak.
You let me speak.
No, let me speak.
Let me speak.
Let me speak.
Nigel Farage, thank you.
Hello?
Shine, it's Donald.
Is there something you need, sir? It's 3 a.m.
Yes, Sean. An urgent matter, a big matter has just come up, okay? And I need you to help me come up with a response.
Of course, right away.
Okay. There's someone on the TV stealing my act.
I see, sir. Who is it? Alec Baldwin?
No, he's this big orange guy, and he's saying everything's great all the time, like me. He's just like, it's great, it's great, it's great. I hate him. So nasty. Such a nasty guy.
Okay, sir. That sounds bad. Is there any more information you have about him?
What else? Oh, yes. He's a tiger. Yeah, it's a tiger, sir? A big tiger wearing a neckerchief, and he's obsessed with cereal. He keeps saying, they're great,
sir.
They're great.
Sir.
Sounds awful.
Sir.
Doesn't even sound right. Sir. They're great.
Sir. I think that might be Tony the Tiger, the Frosty's mascot.
Take him out.
No, you can't.
Take him out.
No, you can't take him out. He's a cartoon character.
Okay. What about this other guy I keep seeing on TV? Ridiculous hair, laughable fake tan, lives in a big white house. I hate that guy so much.
You're not alone there, sir.
John,
I'm sorry. Yes.
It's late.
Yes, what?
I know you want to get to bed.
I do.
Go to sleep.
Okay.
But I can't sleep, Sean.
No.
I need a lullaby.
Okay. Okay, sir, I'll try.
Sing me a lullaby, Sean.
I'll do my best, sir. Okay. Da, 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 da.
Welcome to the BBC's coverage of Glastonbury, a festival built on anti-establishment, anti-capitalist ideas. Tickets are £250 and chips are £9. I am Laura Laverne.
Yeah, and I'm Mark Radcliffe, and my fellow presenters get so annoyed at me never getting to the end of a sentence that they don't even wait for me to finish.
We're live at the main stage, which has played host to some of the greatest performers in history. The Stones, Bowie, Coldplay... But this next act is bigger than the lot of them. It's the unsuccessful leader of the second biggest party in Britain, Jeremy Corbyn. You two, are you looking forward to seeing Jeremy Corbyn?
Yeah, well, we're not actually watching him because, like, we liked him before he was popular.
He's kind of gone a bit mainstream, you know?
You used to be fans of his?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw him, like, in the early years, you know, when it was just him talking to six people about EU farming regs and allotment in Finchley, but that's all changed.
Yeah. You know, Jez, you know, he's gone for all his commercial hits, like, For the Many, Not the Few, and I've got a letter here from Ethelyn Bridlington.
It's like his early stuff is edgy and dangerous, like My Friends from Hezbollah, and Come On, the IRA weren't all that bad.
So where did he go wrong?
Well, the turning point was when he went on the last leg. It was like when Dylan went electric.
And then he went and got lots of votes. I mean, that was the ultimate betrayal.
Yes, I have lost all respect for that Jeremy Corbyn.
But hang on, you are Jeremy Corbyn.
All the more reason for me to organise a day of rage against myself. Meet outside the vegan food stall at 3. He won't get away with this.
Newsbeat. This is Newsbeat with me, Tina Dehealy. Breaking news, James Corden has had some pretty famous names in his car over the years. Stevie Wonder, Adele, Ed Sheeran. He's basically a jolly taxi driver without the casual racism. Here's a trailer of his next carpool karaoke with another pop culture icon.
So I'm absolutely buzzing about today's guest. Oh, man! Is nuts. Some words to describe her: icon, legend, and one of the greatest lyricists of all time. Fact! I can't wait to shout in her ear. Oh, there she is now. All right, Pam, fancy a ride?
Don't mind if I do, James.
Right, Pam, let's go.
Oh, I wish I'd looked after me teeth.
and spotted the perils beneath. All the toffees I chewed and the sweet sticky food. Oh, I wish I looked after me too.
Oh, God, you're such a goddess.
Actually, do you mind if I stop at the shop? I need to pick up some Marge.
All right, shut up. No more questions. So apparently you low-energy jerks in the United Kingdom think that I, the Donald, will be upset that I'm no longer getting a state visit. So totally wrong. Losers. I don't care at all. The real reason I'm not coming is because you guys are the fake news capital of the universe. The universe. Which is even bigger than the world. Bigly big. As I was channel hopping and binge tweeting at 2 o'clock this morning, I come across BBC fake news. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. 2 minutes of total silence from a Mr. Edwards. It's a noise. Nothing. No news at all. Nothing happening. And I know for a fact there was stuff happening. In those 2 minutes, I had eaten 3 steaks, medium rare, broke the American Constitution, got into a Twitter war with Beyonce's newborn twins, pissed off free world leaders, declared war on Minnesota, revealed the secret of Colonel Sanders' 11 herbs and spices to the Russians, and sacked Sean Spicer and replaced him with a fidget spinner. One of these expensive ones made of titanium. And yet that whole time the BBC was telling you nothing was happening. That's so bad, so very bad. Fake news. That is why I make a point of only ever getting my real news from the two most prestigious news channels in America. Fox News, where you'll find that news matters, and QVC, where you'll find one of Ivanka's brooch pendants with 50% off until Monday. Tell them the Donald sent you and get an extra 10% off plus a selfie with the nuclear food ball. No more questions.
This is Theresa May. Please leave your message after the beep.
Hello, it's David Davis again. Master negotiator. Now, remember I was in the basement with that pig? Well, good news. I've successfully negotiated my release from the basement. But the bad news is, the pig now owns Gibraltar.
Dead Ringers was performed by John Coshaw, Lewis McLeod, Jan Ravens, Deborah Stevenson and Duncan Wisby. The writers were Neff Fountain and Tom Jameson, Lawrence Harve, Ed Amsden and Tom Coles, Sarah Campbell, James Bug, Laura Major, Max Davis and Jack Bernhard. The producer and creator was Bill Dare, and it was a BBC Studios production.
And if you'd like